too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Golf Lady 181. 181. It's a palindrome. Same backwards and forwards. I think that's what a palindrome is. Led Zeppelin. When the levee breaks, I get two things. DMs from people that say they expect a crashing energy, lightning force when the podcast starts, and I guess I've been going a little soft on the music, a little maybe too contemporary. I'm just trying to suit the Cutline staff. It's what they listen to, right? Jeff, Yasun, Jib. Well, screw Jib. He's gone. Weather tout. And so if you want face-melting music from the originators of rock, the people that everyone copied, Led Zeppelin. There you go. You can't get better than that song. And Kevin Berry, who is fighting with ALS right now, as I've talked about before, firefighter, 9/11, tough, strong, grizzly dude, dealing with ALS. We talk frequently. He is going through some stuff. And I said, what's your favorite song? And it was Talking Heads. He likes Led Zeppelin, so I thought we'd go Zeppelin. There you go, Kevin. So, 181, thanks to Green Square Golf, of course. If you want form, course history, all tours, all players, how a player is progressing over the last 12 weeks, how they performed on the course, especially like Bay Hill, which is extremely tough, how they performed here. You want a 10-year plus history? Well, there you go. Green Square Golf. Chris Durrell, who always gives me great stats every week. DraftKings, who I apologize for causing an overlay. Told him to expand it to 400 on a WGC week, the contest. It did not fill. This week we've got 300. It will fill. Or it's my ass. My ass will be grass. So DraftKings contest is up. $5, single entry. What else is there? Guaranteed money, as it was last week. You get to be a guest on the podcast. If I feel like it that week, I typically will feel like it. Like Matt Ezrall, he won last week. He's on the podcast. He was a great guest. And then Brickle Eye Cream, if you watch the Periscope. Brickle Eye Cream, now with peptides. Another cut line was missed this week. And it was done spontaneously because Pat Mayo called me out. I had not thought of doing a cut line last week because the WGC is a no-cut event. But then Pat and his ilk, his cult, his community called me out for not doing a cut line. So I spontaneously did one. I didn't even ask the crew here of 70 people what they thought about the Puerto Rico Open, which Brendan Grace won. And I said Brendan Grace in the Periscope flippantly, not with any, you know, I didn't digest any info about the Puerto Rico Open. Sometimes I just get these brain waves and say, Brendan Grace probably sounds pretty good. Turns out he won. And then me and Jeff Feinberg have a thing back and forth because we love Brendan Grace about how many majors he's going to win every year. And it tilts people so badly. Because I say he'll win 5 majors this year. And people are like, well, there's not 5 majors he could win. And Brendan Grace isn't going to win any. I know that. I'm aware of that. I just like Brendan Grace. But for the PRO, I said the cut line was going to be -2. I think, and it was -1. I was 1 stroke off. I was 1 stroke off. Oof. Well, I did that out. And so that's, 4 weeks in a row that this team, not me, this team has been wrong? And so I made a change today, as you've seen on Twitter, for this fictitious cut line staff, cut line LLC, for all your cut line needs and guessing every week. I hired a senior veteran of the cutline industry, Fast Lou. I think he's like 105. His resume said he hadn't missed a cutline since 1968. And he doesn't use a computer or a phone or text or maybe electricity. He uses a pocket calculator and the sun. And he's going to get it right this week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I promise you. Now, does he call everyone Sporto? Yes. Does it drive me nuts? Yes. But that's Fast Lou. Why is he Fast Lou? I guess we'll find out. And Fast Lou just handed me a piece of paper with his guess, with his prediction, Fast Lou, for the winner of the API this week. Is this your winner? It is? Okay. Why are you still here? Fast Lou, president of Cutline LLC, the new president. His pick this week for the API Arnold Palmer Invitational is Gay Brewer. He hasn't played since 1968, Lou. What's wrong with you? You've been drinking since 11 a.m. Go home. Get ready for the cut line. And stop calling girls dames. It's 2021, Lou. Fast Lou. You're going to last a week, pal. Gay Brewer. Speaking of old-time content, like that segue, Dan Hicks, great announcer on PGA NBC, was very revealing in how traditional broadcasting still sees the audience for golf content. Sports content, but I only focus on golf. When Victor Hovland, who I faded this week, I faded him in showdown pretty much everywhere. When he had a mega round going, was it Thursday? Or Friday. And then he had that blow-up hole on the back nine and was quad bogey looking for a nine on a par four. And Dan Hicks said for his putt, like a nine-footer, to make an eight. Dan Hicks says, is there anyone not rooting for this Hovland putt to drop? And I'm like, meh, kind of not. And that's the reality. Unfortunately, if you're a full fade of Victor Hovland, heavy chalk, either showdown or, you know, the full 4 days. Sadly, you're not rooting. You don't want him to be terrible, of course, but for your own benefit, Yeah, it'd be great for my teams if the putt didn't go down. But the traditional broadcast crew really believes that 100% of the audience is people who are actual fans of people playing golf. Think about if you had no skin in this game. Would you be watching Thursday of the WGC? No fans from the concession? Are you watching all 4 days of API? Not 100% of you. So it'd be cool if, NBC, if you had content and context around the live play that would reflect the views of the hardcore DFS player. I bet like 63% of the people didn't want Hovland to make the putt, is my point. I'm gonna make this intro pretty short. I guarantee I'm already like 30 minutes in. I don't even know it. No, not bad. But we do have Ezreal, and we do have a good segment with Ryan and Josh. But the thing with Josh is, I don't know why he is the way he is. Circling the drain. One of the smartest people I know and funniest. And just getting his mind around how to work a microphone and a compact Presario. And he, what we've realized is that he wasn't talking. Well, number one, the banging on the table was his Yankees championship clutter ring, which he likes to show off. And the second part was he was quiet on the mic because we realized that he wasn't near the mic. He didn't know he had to talk into it like a centimeter away. Not an inch, centimeter. Metric system. And so for the first part, and then, so we get that figured out on this segment with Josh and Ryan. And it was fantastic. Hearing the clarity without the banging and the loud, booming, beautiful voice of Josh at Circling the Drain. We get that figured out. And then 8 minutes into our segment, which was killer, Josh's whole enterprise, his whole recording goes down. He's just gone. He's offline. So Ryan and I are just holding it together, knowing that he's offline, but pretending he's there during this segment. And so the segment, and it's because he claims that the internet went down. The one wire that feeds internet in Rhode Island went down for everyone. That was his claim. The Rhode Island Internet Organization, or RIO. So 6 minutes in, 6 minutes plus into the segment with Ryan and Josh, you hear nothing from Josh. And then all of a sudden he says, hello. And it's hilarious. So we're very close to having a full, solid, clear microphone segment with a very sharp and funny guy. We are almost there. We missed the bit where we talked about him telling me what he had for dinner. Honey and stone ground mustard baked salmon. That's the actual text I got. So he ground stone into a honey glaze and put it on fish while I'm eating half a chicken nugget that I found on a chair at my house. So Ezreal, that segment, you get 100% of me and Ryan, you get 61% of Josh, which is still 100% of most people. The API, Bay Hill, it's a tough course. I have heard from people playing this week. You better be precise. You better know how to handle the wind. You better know how to putt on Bermuda that's speedy in the wind. And if you look at players historically at this event, obviously Tiger won it 50 million times. But like Greg Lezenk said to me today, it's mostly major winners. Rory, Tiger, Molinari, Stenson, Day. Elite iron players. And pretty handy around the green. And a lot of correlation between guys who perform well at Bay Hill and guys who perform well at the Open. Franmo, Louis, Tiger, obviously, Zach Johnson, Stenson, Rory at times. It's a tough week. It's a good one, though. Let's talk to Ezra, and then let's talk to the boys, and then we are gonzo. Lou, go home. You're just sitting there staring at me. When I said congrats, Matt Azrael, on Twitter just about 30 minutes ago, Ryan Barif weighed in and said, "You're a scumbag." Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We go way back. I mean, Ryan's a legend in his own mind, if you talk to anybody else. But like,
tell me more.
Okay. So like, we're texting back and forth, and like, I'm showing him like the screenshot. I'm like, I'm about to possibly be on the podcast, and here he is just screenshotting his bad beat after bad beat because the 200K he won a couple months ago wasn't good enough. So like,
nope. Now he plays quarter slots.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Like,
a nit. He's the king nit.
Oh yeah. No, he's definitely, we played poker all the time back in the day, even recently, like during the pandemic, and like, nobody runs worse than Ryan in his mind.
No one.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Does he goat you into taking plays that he says he's going to play? Like, does he razzle-dazzle you, say, "I'm going to play Hatton this week," and doesn't play him?
Every once in a while, like, you'll see that. But, like, for the most part, he's pretty on point with, like, who he uses. And then you'll get, like, the text about, like, for instance, this Sunday, I think Gary chipped it into the water. And like,
oh, he was tilted on Gary. Yeah. Oh, you know who's his guy this week?
Who
he's going to try to get you to play him. Don't play him.
I'm not playing Fitzpatrick.
Harris English.
Oh, I'm definitely not playing Harris
English. He's already trying to sell it. It's Harry E week.
I think we're finally back to his real number. What was he? I think I looked. He was like, what, 55 maybe in that range?
What, in terms of price?
Yeah. Or I'm saying no as far as like betting odds.
Oh, yeah. Him, he's like low eights. He needs to get down to sixes in the DraftKings. Well, good job last week. Now, who do you like? Have you looked at the field this week?
Yeah, I've looked at it a little bit, yeah.
Pricing, yes?
Pricing. Let me pull it up. I got it right here. I mean, I looked at the weather. I guess Sunday's supposed to be a disaster, which should be...
It's windy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from
windy
Florida,
weekend.
So like I know how it goes. Like,
do you live in Florida?
Not anymore. Currently like in the DC area, but like I lived there first 28 years of my life.
So Bay Hill's pretty tough when it's windy. It's extremely firm and fast.
Yeah.
I mean, a -4 win last year by Hatton. That's a US Open style course.
I mean, I love weeks like that.
Yes. So from what I'm hearing, it's going to be really sharp iron play. And guys who can putt really well, especially in the wind on Bermuda, that's really fast.
I mean, obviously, people are probably going to gravitate towards Rose again. He's like in the high 7Ks, but Fowler's right behind him, which I don't know if you can play Fowler.
Yes, always play Fowler.
I mean, in my mind, he'll go down as the most overrated golfer in the history of golf. I know that's a sharp take, but...
Well, it was a good podcast, Matt Ezra. We'll see you later, buddy. what's your take on Bryson? Give me your thoughts, because I'm going to pick up one of those five on my teams. He's mysterious.
You just don't know. I mean, how's the driver going to be? I mean, I guess if he hits his irons well, like, he's obviously always going to be in play, but like, it's pretty tough when you're hitting it from the sticks, your second shot every time. I mean, you just got to, I mean, the thing is, like, in those top five, I mean, I personally like Patty. That's just me. I mean,
I'm always Patrick Reed.
I'm team Captain America for life.
Yes.
I'm in the rarity. But, like, I mean, Hovland's one of the
hottest. He'll be highest owned.
Yeah, without a doubt. But, like, I mean, there's a ton of bunkers. And, like, you're scrambling.
He's not good.
Yeah, your scrambling has to be on point here. So, like, I mean, Rory's Rory. I mean, is he back? Maybe.
He's top six.
Yeah.
But at 11-6, can you top six? No, you got to win.
No, exactly. 11-5. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, Hatton was decent this past week. I mean, he just had a couple bad stretches. That one day, I think he started, he was like two under, and then next thing you know, he was like two over.
You want to know who's going to win?
Who's going to win?
No, I was going to ask you.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if it's like a dark horse, but like, I'm thinking Willie Z might come out with his first win.
Like it? I'm saying Spieth.
Jesus.
That's pretty, I didn't like how that rolled off the tongue. At all.
I mean, I'm not in the Spieth camp, but what was it? Waste Management. I held 150-1 Spieth ticket, but I was lucky enough to have a Brooks ticket. But like, even going into Sunday, I was just like, this doesn't end well. Like, when you're tied with Xander, you just assume that Xander's going to win. Like
Ryan, I mean, Matt, Ryan Bear thinks Jason Kokrak's going to win. Just to let you know, just to forecast the texts you're going to get, he's going to try to sell you Kokrak.
But I'm always buying Kokrak. I can withstand that. There's some other golfers that I just can't.
Corey Connors, he'll sell you that.
I mean, every time you watch Corey Connors' shot tracker, he's like, if it's like, it's like 252 off the tee, it seems like.
He always hits a tree. I don't think he owns wedges.
Hey, I don't know.
All right, who's your winner for real? Who's your outright winner?
Patrick Reed. I mean,
same.
I just think, like, if it's going to be nasty, I mean, I love him, but I mean, I'm also a little higher on him than most people. I just, like, you
who's
said,
your ultimate? Oh. Who's your ultimate super fade?
Super fade?
Absolutely. Looking at this board, he's like, I'm never going to play him. Other than Fowler, who you have to play at 7.
Oh, my God. I just can't do it. Honestly, Spieth's 9,300. I mean, you guys can enjoy that number.
Wow.
But, like, I mean, if you're going big dogs, I'm probably going to – I mean, Hovland's a strong fade. But I mean,
yeah, that's why I'm with you.
I just, like, I think he got to. What is he, top – what, six or better? Like his last, I don't even know. Let me pull it up. Seven tournaments, maybe? 1, 2, 3, 4.
He needs a break.
I mean, yeah, he won, then finished 31st, and then he finished second, sixth, fifth, second. I mean, the wheels are about to come off at some point. He's got to have one bad week. I mean, he's too young to just like T5 every week.
No, that chip out of the bushes last week. It was a joke.
Oh, my God.
He was running so hot.
Yeah, like. And the worst part about that blow up was, I had a 5-man parlay for head to head, and it was like I had him straight up money line with Bryson, and like that was like the last leg I needed, and like they're tied going to last hole, and they're both 7 under for the day. And then he makes an 8.
And who, I guarantee you, the guy who always brings you the bad news on text first.
Yeah.
Is Barra.
Barra, yeah.
Always.
Because like the worst part was I wasn't home yesterday, so like I'm trying to sweat on the app, and then I get the Barra text saying that this happened, and I'm just like,
yep, it's over.
And the worst part was the 18th hole. I'm sweating to win the Golflandia. And like, if Billy Ho birdies, I can't even win, even if Morikawa like holes out. Cause like with like the under 70 bonus, cause I had no Billy Ho. And then like, he's like, Billy Ho is going to 3-putt. He's 50 feet away. Next thing you know, he hits it to like 3 feet. And then Morikawa needs to save par and he has 11 feet. And I'm just like, I don't remember the last time he made an 11 footer other than like two holes earlier. But yeah.
Hovland was making everything. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I was most worried about him. I mean, even though he started, what did he start, 5 back?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's just, he can throw some darts with the best of them.
All right, Patrick Reed wins, Hovland fade. You're sour on Fowler. We'll let that go.
Yeah, I mean, what
is Spieth price too high?
Spieth price too high. I mean, I'm going to probably fade Sungjae too, which is kind of a,
I agree. I mean, he is third and third here.
Yeah.
But he's not, he hasn't been really the same Sungjae.
I just feel like everybody, like, to stop bringing up, like, Baroff's boy, but, like, Fitzpatrick sandwiched in between Hatton and him, he might be forgotten.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick. I've talked to a couple of caddies. Fitzpatrick just seems like the play this week. So many respects.
But yeah, I mean, I'm probably a little higher on Willie Z than most people, but I don't think he's played here before. Willie so Z. Like, I mean, he could be part of the young kids club. He might have a win coming this season.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have to play the like Wyndham, but yeah.
So you got a Z in your name?
Yeah.
That's Ezra.
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks, man. Thanks for joining the podcast.
No, thanks for having me.
You were great.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right, so this week is the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is actually a tough course. And this last year it was a minus four win, which is rare on the PGA Tour on a regular stop. That's like a U.S. Open style course. It was extremely fast. The rough is thick. You need to hit fairways. The wind was tough last year, especially I think on Saturday. I think Brooks Koepka shot an 81. It has long par fours and a short par fours. The par fives are easy. The par threes are tough. There's a lot of approach shots over water that can, like in the eighth hole, especially. It's the eighth hole, and the 18th is one that plays the toughest. The 11th plays the toughest. They get these approach shots over water into greens that are, you know, 13 to 15 stimp like concrete, plus the wind. And as I talked to one caddy this week who's playing with his player, it's target practice. Who can hit the greens the most, and who can putt into the wind? It's a extremely high professional level golf course. Typically, it's arguably, and I can say it, I don't think it's one of the more exciting stops on tour. I may speak for players who don't want to speak out about that. It's a very right to left course. It's like they're turning left the entire time on this course, especially around the Circle Lake. But it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, scrambling, iron play, elite, bunker. It's a Florida stop, Bermuda putting. What else can I say, Ryan, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got it all. You know, Florida golf is Florida golf. It doesn't matter really how long the course is. They're all going to play pretty similarly. And I mean, really here, the only defense, as you said, like, yes, there's some water, but the only defense will be the wind and the course conditions. You know, we want it to be firm. And that's what you saw last year. It's not historically been that way. But again, like, I would expect it to play pretty similar to what we saw at Concession. It's obviously more open off the tee, but you're going to want to keep your ball in play. You're going to want to hit a lot of greens. And yeah, I mean, I still think at the end of the day, these guys are going to make 20 to 25 birdies.
So yeah. This year, listen, the pricing is, my theory is that this week there's really not a lot of great stuff in the sixes. Maybe one or two I can make a case for and be comfortable with, but nothing that's going to finish that I think top five, top 10 out of that group, which you're going to need to have one or two guys up top on the big guys to make a team work. I like the strategy of playing one max out of the 10 plus group in any lineup, because if you play if you're able to play Rory and Hatton, for instance, I'm not sure how team makeups will work in that regard, but in order to make that work, they'd have to finish 1-2. And that's just the odds of that happening are just very slim. So it's going to be one of those guys likely winning, perhaps, or maybe finishing second. But I can make a case for fading a lot. Well, Hovland, DeChambeau, maybe. Mm-hmm. Rory, even. Does Rory win anything?
His one here?
Yeah, but he's going to finish top five, but is that enough for 11-5? I mean, there's a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to get the winner with him. And I mean, Brayson's very interesting because, yeah, like, when you look at DK scoring, which at the end of the day, yes, you want to get winners. You want to get probably 1, 2, and 3, but I mean, that's what you're looking for. Bryson last week finished tied for 22nd. I think he was 6th or 7th in DraftKings scoring, mostly from, I mean, one round. And so when you look at somebody like Rory, which is what he's historically done, is, you know, he's had a couple of mediocre rounds and then he gets hot on Saturday and shoots a Sunday 64 to tie for 6th, but he's like 3rd in DK points. So I actually think I'm leaning the opposite as you this week. I like starting with 2 studs. I think there's a lot of really, really good plays, but I think they're all priced appropriately. Like when you look at the 8s and then even the 9s, like I think you could build a very solid team there, but I'm not blown away by any values.
No.
Maybe Molinari at 87 seems to have found something. I think, you know, he's pretty affordable, but like not paying 9K for Billy Horschel or for Louis or 93 for Spieth or 94 for
Hideki. That surprises me that you wouldn't pay 90.3 for Spieth, because I think that he's Fitzpatrick-esque, and I think Spieth could win.
Yeah, he definitely can. I guess I wish he had a little bit better course history. You know, he's only played here a couple of times, nothing in the top 25. And yeah, I mean, this is a course where I think course history holds a little merit, but also you see the same kinds of people show up. You see the Euros, you see the good wind players, you see the kind of really good ball strikers, accurate players, and that doesn't scream Spieth to me.
Hello.
So
he didn't even mention Joshua.
Let me peek behind the curtain for about the last 6 minutes. We've been holding this shit together because Josh has been offline, and so Ryan and I have been just pretending you've been fine. And the only thing in my mind was, when you come back online, just make sure and make it appear you weren't offline. And what do you do? Hello. What? Hello.
So, I listen between the.
I can hear the submarine. I know you're back online.
Between the, I've sweat through my shirt between the microphone issues, and now my entire neighborhood lost internet. I was trying, and I know this because I was searching to jump onto my neighbor's internet connections, and they were all out. So, wow, this is
neighborhood you live in.
Yeah.
People stealing Wi-Fi.
Well, we spend all our money on islands, so we don't have enough money for good internet.
Who's your pick over 10K, Josh? Now, I liked your strategy of pick one of that group in your lineups. Like last week you said, let's pick only 3 of the top 6 on Showdown Sunday. You can't have Rory Hovland one in lineups. This is not going to work.
I happen to think this might be a good week for double stud. Yeah, I'll tell
you. You're outnumbered.
I'll tell you why. Oh, did he already
double
cover
stud
this?
Stud week.
I just said that. Yeah, I said I like the build.
Well, here's the reason. I'll just run through it quickly to make up for lost time. Shorter field, so higher percentage of made cuts. And all of my favorite plays are at the top. There aren't a lot of plays in the middle that really scream to me that I think could actually do top 5, top 10. So it gets pretty bleak pretty quickly. So I think I'm going to just try to maybe jam the top and hope that the other two can kind of just fill in the roster, unlike last week where I said you really need to be putting everybody in the top, which end up, if you looked at the winning lineup, it was basically everyone was inside the, I think even like the top 10 of like the big GPP. But I don't think that would be the case this week. I think you're going to be able to do well with just getting a guy like, I'm sure we'll get to him, but a Stricker who just makes the cut, that does enough, and you hit the rest of the top. But to answer your question, I really like Terrell and Hovland. That's an obvious answer. He's playing so well, and I don't know. I have a good feeling about Fitz. I don't like Rory.
No. So I can make a case for fading Rory, for fading Victor in the 10s. I say the meat and the winner is going to come in the nines. And I think that this is where you make your hay. I think between Fitzpatrick and Spieth, one of those two may win. I know a lot of the people on the ground like Fitzpatrick because he is a flight the ball down, spot on iron player, and a great Bermuda putter, and very good in the wind. Just an all-round great player. And Spieth at 9.3, surprisingly at that price, I think because he's forgotten after the week of WGC. But Casey, Molinari, Zalatoris. Well, Molinari's in the eights and Zalatoris. We'll get to those. Yeah. What's your thoughts? Nines, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I definitely echo what Josh is saying. You know, last week I was on that build with the nines. I think it made a lot of sense with the Brooks, Hovland, Morikawa, Webb. Like, they were all there, and it ended up working out. And I just don't see it this week. You know, I think if there's one guy who I feel is very, very underpriced in that range, it's,
yes.
It's Paul Casey, who I just, you know, I just don't want to play him. I mean, I will play him in cash. I just don't want to play Paul Casey. I'm going to lean towards the double studs. I think there is a little value in the eights.
Hello.
I think those guys. It's great. But I think those guys are going to carry ownership. So you look at Burns, you look at Molinari. I'm just not feeling it this week.
There's some players that I'm interested in fading this week in this range. And I was happy to see that they did well last week, namely Matsuyama and Usti. Usti in particular, I think I made a note of this. He was on the winning full slate lineup in one of the big GPPs, and he was on the winning showdown lineup in the big one, I believe twice over the four days.
That good.
So I don't believe he has a lot of upside, despite what I just said about him winning GPPs. He hasn't really done well here. So he's someone who I think will get a little bit more ownership than he should. And the play I really love is right below him, which would be Molinari and Zalatoris.
Okay, so last week, tee to green approach around the green off the tee. What category did Usti top five in? He top five in one of them. Tee to green approach around
It's usually the around the green, but...
Yeah, which is surprising because he's a great ball striker, right?
He's kind of like Answer in the fact that, like, every time they show these assholes on TV, they're just chipping in or pulling out. And it's
Usti is not, he's well above Answer, in my opinion.
You said this with Xander yesterday, right? Every time they cut to Xander, like on the broadcast,
he's always has an amazing shot.
Shit, he's going to make an eagle.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Louis.
Last week, TD Green in this field, Hovland, Zalatoris, Rory, Billy, Hideki, Louis. My sixth TD Green. Approach, Hovland, Reed, Munoz, Hatton, Zalatoris. Around the green, Matsuyama was one, Ryan and Josh. Nah, love Nah. Bazendehut, fade. Usti, Rory. Rory was fifth around the green. Off the tee, Hovland, Kokrak, Billy, Bryson, M. So in the sevens now I love Zalatoris, and I can make a case for fading Homa. Not that I don't like him, but this is he's just got to be gassed a little bit. He needs a break. He's got to save himself for the players. Kokrak putts better, good ball striking week. This is an iron heavy, shot making week. And I can Kokrak is just priced well enough for me to stay interested. Fleetwood, he's got to show us something. He's still 9K. I think he's, you know, for performance, probably the most overpriced player in the field. But in the sevens, and Josh, back me up on this, because if you don't, I'm going to be very pissed. But Ricky Fowler's 7.8. Come on. You're dipping into that, aren't you?
I gave up Matsuyama, and I'm on the verge of giving up Fowler. I probably have said I would. I guess I'll – I don't – I mean, at a minimum, he makes a nice Cam Davis pivot.
Yeah.
Because – but I don't know. I can see the merit for it. You could just keep up with these guys like Fowler with Spieth. You say eventually they're going to come around. Now with Spieth, it did come around. And with Fowler, if all of a sudden he tops five, you're going to have missed the boat. So you guess you just have to decide, do I want to keep on throwing in good money after bad and hope that when he finally hits? But I don't love it.
Right.
I think you can make that same argument right there for Justin Rose,
who I played last week. Done. Finished.
And he was embarrassing last week. Yes, but I do agree. I love Jason Kokrak. I mean, every week, but I've already bet him here. You mentioned Kevin Na. I'm very torn there because I do think Na makes an excellent pivot this week. He tends to be underrated every single week. His course form here recently isn't great, but he has played well here before. And it just seems like I think he's priced appropriately, but I mean, I could definitely see him paying off value there. I do think the one decision, which kind of we just touched on, is what you do with Cameron Davis. I think he's far and away the highest projected player for, I think, anybody in the 7K range.
Even the even kind of more than Corey Connors?
Yeah, I think so. Just because he's been just good and he scores and people like playing Cameron Davis. And I think it's because he scores. But he's been, you know, I mean, really all year, he's been between what, 15 and 20%. Mm-hmm. And most weeks he's still been doing pretty well. Like he doesn't have a ton of really high finishes. I think he has one top five, but he scores. Like he's scoring 60, 70, 80, 90 DraftKings points a week. So, I think that's the one decision you have to make this week.
He's 8K though. That's kind of expensive.
Oh, but he's not. He's 79.
And if he could just not lose a lot of strokes on the green, I think he could win this.
No.
That sounds like a guy who already bet Cameron Davis.
Surely does. Cameron Davis not fucking winning this.
Now that I bet him.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. If he does really well, he could probably win this, right? No. Here's the pivot of all pivots, because everyone's going to be on Corey Connors at 7.3, which is probably a good price for Corey Connors. If he could putt or play around the green, is Brendan Todd. Here's why. Brendan Todd. This course is about the easiest holes in this course are the par fives. The toughest holes are the par threes. This is a plotting course. You have to hit your mark. And you have to be a pretty good Bermuda putter and to be savvy around the green. Brendan Todd is what, top 10 in par five scoring, believe it or not, this year. He had a very decent final weekend. If you played showdown, Brendan Todd did. He had a very poor start to the tournament. He had a very good close to the tournament. And since everyone's going to be playing Norin / Connors, he's wedged right in between, and Norlander, right? All these slaps
and List.
And McNealy, and On, and Stenson. He's right there that no one's going to think about. Probably, what, 6% owned? I love Brendan Todd.
I can call
Brendan Todd to win.
On board with that. Yeah. I'm very much on board with Brendan Todd this week.
Really? Interesting. Do we really expect Norlander to garner a lot of
A ton. It's the Norlander, Connors, Davis, Grillo, Redmond, ball striking, fake winners, Wolf stands. It's always 20%.
People are going to play List is going to be twice as much owned as Norlander.
No way. No way.
It's kind of tough because both – yeah, I mean, both just missed the cut, right? Like by a shot. No way. Maybe Norlander was worse, but I know List missed the cut by one.
Look at Norlander's your 78 or an 81 last year. Go through hole by hole of Norlander last year because I remember it. You're going to miss greens. You're going to hit shots that are going to go in a bunker, and you can't put these bunker shots tight because the greens are so quick. And Norlander, God love him, out of a bunker is a very, very tough scene.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, List has three straight top 20s here. So, I mean, that in itself is just going to make him
popular,
you know, extremely popular. And I'm sure Mayo will pump him up.
All right, in the sixes, I've got two guys. That's it. Maybe three.
It's very.
I know who you like.
Yeah, Slep already stole Stricker, but I mean, just do it. Just take your top 40 and, you know.
I don't believe it.
There are very few names I like down here. I think I can't imagine I'll play more than five, and that seems like I usually have a lot more in this range, but if I'm going to go double stud heavy, it means I'm going to have to go very high on some
sixes.
Suspect plays, or I'm going to have to spread it out. And I'm just going to have to go very high on those five plays and hope that a couple of them.
See, that's my point, Josh, that you can't double stud it, as you guys have trademarked that, whatever that means. You can't, there's nothing in the sixes to really take from to know that these guys are going to finish top 10, which you're going to need to have. They're just not. I mean, I like John Ha, but it's still John Ha. I still can't describe his game or who he is, but he may finish top 30. Munoz, I think, is pretty underpriced. He had a good week last week. Danny Willett is a gamer. He's a good wind player. He's a great iron player. He's good around the green. Denny Willis is just a very strong, strong, smart, very competitive player. But that's about it down here. I mean, Danny Lee, I know you're probably going to mention Ryan. Danny Lee, you always play Danny Lee on tough courses. And here it is. Danny Lee plays well here.
Did make a cut, yeah.
He's a high ball hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a few, though.
I mean, EVR 6.9, Matt Naismith?
Yeah, I think EVR stands out a lot. Munoz, you mentioned, just kind of based on price. Brendan Steele just has been just very solid.
Pass.
He birdies except when I play him, which is annoying. But I will give you one more very disgusting
Zach Johnson.
Name.
Say it. I'll eat it.
Almost. Kyle Stanley.
Oh, fuck off.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay.
I'm just saying, you want a guy who can finish T35, make some birdie? He's got three top 20s here in the last 5 years. Come on.
I have two names that are worse than that.
Sung Kang?
No, I don't play that guy. Aaron Wise. That's some interesting.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, right. At least I can make
There's
the case.
The only people worse than Wolf stands are Aaron Wise stands. Go ahead.
Improving approach play, two made cuts here, top 40.
He's talking about Aaron Wise.
Is my mic off?
It's about to be.
You got a Charl next.
Fine. Doug Gim.
Hello?
I mean, at least he has been all right. We would be remiss on this podcast if we didn't mention Bo Hogan.
You get the fuck out of here, Ryan. Bo. I'm literally dying. You're just naming everyone. It's ridiculous. All right, sorry.
Bo Hogan can make a cut. Come on. We've played him like 5 weeks.
At least none of you said T-dunks.
I'm going to go along that same line, not Bo Hoag, but how about Tom Hoagie?
I can get behind Hoagie.
Yeah.
He's a good iron player.
That's, yeah.
I can get behind Hoagie.
But in all seriousness, I'm playing Steve Stricker.
I'm not.
And you all should.
He's a myth. It's no longer. It's no longer. It's like always play Hubbard. It's a myth. It's burned me too much. It's like Amazon options in August.
Yeah, I mean, he just finished fourth in Phoenix. He just finished third on the Champions Tour. Like, the guy is playing fine.
I know. I can't do it. Zach Johnson is the interesting
on
one.
Thursday with this trigger.
Zach Johnson is a great par. He's done well here. He's obviously a great iron player, wedge player, putter. The scoring here is you got to score the par fives, yes. But the par threes are tough in that they're all over 200 yards. They're some of the toughest holes on the course. And these players don't like playing over 200-yard par threes into the wind. And Zach Johnson plays them well. He's good. You know who probably the top par three score on tour is, other than Bryson? Fitzpatrick. Hatton. Does Hatton hit a ball offline ever? No. What am I talking about? Oh, who's going to win?
It sounds like Hatton from everything you're
saying.
Might be. Yeah, I'm probably going that way. I bet Hatton this morning. I will probably use him in one and done. Not going to get too. I'm not going to get too creative this week.
Who's your win, Josh?
I also like Hatton, but I really think it's going to be someone in the top of the board. But if I'm going to go down a little bit further, I could see a breakthrough for Zalatoris.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that's not where my heart is. My heart is Hatton, maybe Fitz.
At least take Molinari down there.
I get.
Well, I know, but I wanted – I mean – that's he's already won here. That's easy. So.
To me, it's going to be one of Reed, Hatton, Fitz, Spieth. I could make a case for Zalatoris. I'm hard fading Horschel, and English, and Justin Rose,
and apparently Steve Stricker. But
yeah, Ryan, come on.
This is your guy. You're going to show up on Thursday, and you're going to have a team leading with Stricker and Hubbard. And you're going to have to issue a public apology.
Is Stricker going to finish top 10? Like, just forecast this out. You can't play him.
T29.
Huh? It's not enough.
He can tie for 29th and be fine.
It's not enough to win these big GPPs. You got to have the six of the top 10, basically. As long as like one of the big dogs don't win, which, you know, you probably have to play that they don't. Rory, no. Bryson, no. Hovland, no. Reed, maybe.
I'm ready for a Rory win.
It's not going to happen.
Do you think he's got it in him? It seems weird to ask that about Rory, but there's, I don't know, just.
The only thing that I am encouraged about is if you look back at last week, I believe he gained strokes putting around the green and approach and lost off.
Yes. He did.
He's not going to do that again. He's certainly not going to.
He made a lot more putts than I've ever seen him make. That's for sure.
Well, and still missed. Like that first day or the first, I think the first one or two days, he missed a handful of putts inside of six, 7 feet. So, but I was definitely impressed by his short game and his iron play. He just hit some offline tee balls. And, you know, he likes this place. So who knows?
Well, thank you for talking closer to the mic, Josh. You sounded incredible.
Thanks for putting up with my antics.
I'll talk to you guys next week. All right, that's it for 181. Thanks to Green Square. Thanks to DraftKings. Thanks to Peptides. Thanks to Chris Durrell, Matt Azrall, Ryan Baroff, and 60% of Josh circling the drain. He's almost there. To a full segment. And Kevin Barry, of course, as we stand with you in your fight, my friend. This week, API, I don't know, Molly, Usti, Fitzy, Hatney, Spieth, someone with Open credentials. Someone who can handle the wind. Someone who has precision. Someone who can be perform around the green or at the green. ATG. Who has competency on Bermuda. Good iron game. That's it. Who knows? Jason Day. Talk to you 182.
Mm-hmm.